Well, from the studios of Grand Forks, Best Source, happy Wednesday, everybody. You hear the music, you know what it's time for. Time for your Berkshire Hathaway bi-weekly podcast. And standing by is realty expert Berkshire Ben Olson. And we'll talk with Ben right after this.
What would tomorrow look like if you sold your house today? Maybe you'd move to a new city or a new country. Maybe you'd pick up birding or birdies. You could get into wine, not that into wine, or skiing, warmer skiing. Or maybe you'd spend more time doing nothing at all. When you're ready for whatever comes next, we'll be ready to help you get there. Berkshire Hathaway Home Services.
All right, and we are back with your Berkshire Hathaway bi-weekly podcast. Realty expert Berkshire Ben Olson is in the house.
I love that every time.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Pretty good. How was your 4th?
My 4th was wonderful. I did a whole lot of nothing. I ate and I drank and I relaxed.
That's how it's supposed to go.
Yeah. How about you?
I did a little bit of work and I also did some drinking and some relaxing. So it was really nice. Yep. It was really casual.
Did you have Monday off?
Yep. Did have Monday off. Took Monday off and just kind of relaxed. And I figured everyone else was taking Monday off. So
What the
town,
heck?
Town seemed pretty dead when I came back on Monday evening. Even it seemed pretty quiet.
Yeah. You know, we, and I hate to say this, we're already halfway through the year.
Yes.
You know, July 4th is always seems like, okay, now the summer starts to dwindle away a little bit. But when we talk about halfway through the year, now we know how last year, the first half of the year went, or this year, but do you guys have like expectations for real estate in the second half of the year?
Yeah, so I think in January we kind of talked about predictions for 2022 and what we were expecting possibly for what the market would do this year. And I think that, you know, the first half of the year kind of stayed true to it being really busy. It had a lot of home sales that happened. We had a lot of you know, prices that were really, really high that have been higher than the last few years. I think now in the last few months, and it's particularly in the last month, we've seen a record number of price reductions compared to where we have been at.
Okay.
So I think that that's just kind of forecasting that in the future, number one, we're just going to see things that are just a little bit less competitive. Things are just slowing down a little bit this year. So we're kind of backing off of our springtime highs for home sales and for other property sales.
So when you talk about price reductions in the last month or so, does that mean more buying and selling? Or what does that mean if you're in the realty world like you are?
That just means that somebody who puts their house on, let's say, so when a realtor goes and evaluates a house, they do a comparative market analysis. And when they look at that, they look at comps or comparable homes that have sold within the last year. So when you're looking at those properties, you're going to pick the average after you do adjustments of what that price should be for the house that you're listing. So what happens is that sometimes that you list that at the high end of that range. So let's say that your property range comes out from, let's say, you know, 265 to 275. Well, let's say you price it at 275, right? You're going to price it at the higher range, seeing what you get. Well, let's say you're on the market for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and you just don't get any offers. You don't get as much traction as you want. Then somebody would price reduce.
Sure.
And what that just means is that the high highs of where we were, especially in 2021 and last year and earlier this year, I think are backing off.
So if you go in and you decide what the price of a house should be, if they're trying to sell it, do you start then on the higher end? I would imagine, because you don't ever want to start low, do you?
No, and I always start at the higher end, just especially in this type of market where it's still a seller's market. I mean, we're still in a robust seller's market. So that's one thing to remember, is that even though we're going into this later part of the year, it's going to start slowing down. We're probably going to be slowing down towards more equilibrium than actually anything. So this idea that somehow we're going to flip to a buyer's market, it's probably not going to happen that way. What's going to happen is that price reductions are going to happen. I think the interest rates might stable off. So if those remain stable, then I think that we're going to see some price reductions, and we're going to see some people who are able to kind of get back maybe into the market too.
You know, you mentioned equalization, the word there, but now with price reductions, interest rates, hopefully they hold, but they've been slowly going up. Kind of evens things out a little bit then, doesn't it?
Yep. So obviously, you know, with inflation, the price of a home, even a new home, is inflated, and the price of even a previously occupied home is inflated. So one thing to remember is we're going to see a lot more new builds still come online, right? People are still building at record numbers. So we're seeing a lot of building going on, but we still need more. I mean, that's one of the problems with our price crunch right now in certain price ranges. like that price range for residential homes between like 250 and 350, that's a tough price range to be in for buyers, right? Because there just sometimes isn't options available that work for them.
Mm-hmm. So, well, you know, you talk about new housing. You know, I know it slowed there for a while because of the price increase in materials, but are the prices still way up there? Because you mentioned now that they're starting to build houses again.
Yep. So houses are, the material shortage is coming, is easing. So that's what's really been helping. I mean, people are getting their materials in, they're getting things built. The hardest thing right now is finding the labor. So I think as material costs get cheaper and things kind of lighten up on that end and get more available, not even cheaper, just become available.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's going to be a lot of more people considering building again. And I think that those interest rates getting a little higher, people can lock in their interest rate if they're going to build a new construction a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
So I think people will take advantage of that. Obviously, you got to find a lender who will let you take advantage of a rate lock, especially in this type of environment. But the other thing to note in the last half of this year is because things are slowing down, because we're seeing more price reductions, because we're seeing the interest rate go up and a lot of some buyers are just forced out of the market or they're not able to buy in certain segments of the market, they move on to other ones.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say you can't afford a $250,000 house here in town. Maybe you find a $200,000 house out of town.
Sure.
Right? Or something cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, as people find substitutions, I think that the market's going to start lightening up a little bit as things go on.
Yeah, because I would imagine, depending on where out of town, but you know, a $250,000 house in Grand Forks might be a $200,000, $225,000 house if you're 20 miles away.
Right, yeah, right. So as people look for substitutions in the market and look, consider their options, I mean, people go where there's housing, where there's jobs. I mean, that's just how it is.
Mm-hmm.
And so when people are willing to drive, especially in this state, I mean, we have people who work at our brokerage who live in Northwood and different places all over, and they're willing to drive.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a big deal. I mean, it's just something that they, it's part of their life, you know, that they drive into Grand Forks. And that's just how it is. And there's nothing wrong with that.
You know, I talk to people all the time, and I used to be one of these people. I always, I grew up out in the country, and I always wanted to get back to the country. And you talk to people all the time that say, you know, my dream house is somewhere in the country, away from the city. In fact, I just ran into somebody I know who said that's been her dream her entire life. And she's in her 60s now, and she's going to do it. She bought a house out in the middle of nowhere, and she's going to move, and she's going to enjoy her being out there by herself with, you know, all the wildlife and all that stuff. But are more and more people tending to try to find places out of town?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, my mom did this a couple years ago. She moved from Fargo, where she lived for 30 years, and moved to Abercrombie, which is half an hour south of Fargo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's not that far away. I mean, it's just right up, right down the interstate, basically south of Fargo. But she wanted a place that was affordable. I mean, in Fargo, she could have afforded maybe like a two-bedroom condo that you had to walk upstairs for, and she's in her 60s, so she didn't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so then we found a one level house, one and a half story house on a big lot that was really, really inexpensive.
Yeah.
And a lot cheaper than if she were to get a condo and have to redo that and still not have a big yard, still not have her own space, still have to live in a building with other people. At least this way, she has her own house all to herself. And I think that's going to become more common. And I think building those communities too, I think as materials get cheaper too, I think people will start taking advantage of that themselves and probably do more improvements as things go on. You know, if they don't move on from their house, they're probably going to do more improvements, which will be good.
Right. Like me, I live out of town. I can actually hunt and do whatever I want on my property, but I can make it to a liquor store in about 7 minutes. So,
right.
I mean, so I got the best of all worlds.
Right. I mean, it's all about convenience.
Yeah.
And people want to be, you know, close and in. We have such a great layout here because we have a lot of roads that lead right to, you know, major highways and interstates. And so it's really not that far to get anywhere. I mean, around here, it's really, you know, an hour's drive is
nothing.
You got to think about it. People in the cities, the Twin Cities, they'll drive an hour.
Mm-hmm.
In heavy traffic from one end to the other. And not heavy traffic, maybe it's less time, but they'll be in the car easily an hour or more a day.
Yeah.
And to them, that's normal. And so like here, it's totally normal too for people to live out of town an hour away or 45 minutes away.
I have a lot of nieces and nephews and relatives in the Twin Cities, and they don't get together that often because they're still an hour and a half apart from each other.
Right.
And I complain about having to drive to the south end of Grand Forks from my house on a busy Saturday or something. It might take me 20, 25 minutes to get all the way across, maybe even a half hour. But I've also lived in California where it would take me, not during the commute, it would take me 12 minutes to get to work on my motorcycle, and it'd take me an hour and a half to get home. And that's five lanes going one way in a motorcycle.
Isn't that crazy?
So, yeah, there's nothing worse than having to commute like that. At least if you commute around here, you live in a small town, you work in Grand Forks, or, you know, like you mentioned.
Or vice versa. Maybe you live in Grand Forks and work in a small town. Exactly. I mean, it does happen that way too. And so I think that, you know, we have so many opportunities. And I think the last kind of thing I'll mention is that, you know, look for those opportunities in the market, right? There's going to be really great opportunities for residential buyers. There's going to be great opportunities for people who are looking for commercial space as well. I mean, commercial has gotten more competitive now this year because people want a place to put their money.
Sure.
You know, if you already have that $500,000 house and you want to do a different type of real estate investment, do something commercial. There's so many multifamily options. There's so many commercial options. There's different restaurants. There's different bars. There's different, you know, you can own land, just plots of land. There's so many different options that people don't even know about that you can own for commercial, that I think that people, if they expanded their horizons and wanted to park their money in something that's a little bit more stable, it, you know, especially with inflation and gas prices the way it is, I mean, things just don't seem to be slowing down at all with those things. And so I think that putting your money in something that actually has a good repository of value would be perfect for people in this situation, especially if it's a strong seller's market in the residential side.
You know, one thing that's caught my eye lately are these shouse. They call them a shouse.
Shouses, yes.
Yeah, shouses. And I actually know some people that have built them now. They're basically on a lake. But man, I've seen some really nice ones that aren't on lakes. And I think that would be the dream place for me.
Yep. So a shouse is like a shop house. Yeah. And you basically have like two garage doors. And on the inside, you have like a built out basic kitchen living room. And I've seen some of those. And I think that they're really smart. I think they're a great use of money. And I mean, if you're going to, if you're going to build a house and it's going to cost, you know, $100,000 just for, you know, a certain part of the building process, consider just doing a shouse to start.
Yeah.
I mean, I know one person who did, when they did their cabin, they built a shouse at first, and then now they use their shouse, their shop house as their guest cabin.
Yep.
And they built a brand new cabin in front of it. So for them, it worked out perfect because then they could build and they could still stay out there and work on their new place.
Yep.
So they save some money doing that too. So it just really makes a lot of sense to kind of build, you know, build in a way that can save you money at this point if you're going to be building. I know even my broker said, you know, it's hard to even touch anything for building less than $150 a square foot at this point for building.
Right.
It's just hard. So, I mean, if you're going to get something of quality, you know, you're going to spend the money.
Yeah.
Build something that's going to be multi-use, that's going to be easily saleable. I mean, things that make sense. You know, make the smart investment while things are tough. And then when things are, you know, going gangbusters like they were the last couple of years, and you really could kind of manipulate the market and kind of, you know, fix and flip and do the things you want to do. Now it's a little bit tighter.
Sure.
You know, I think that you got to wait for those opportunities, but still parking your money in something that you can put a little bit of value in. You know, shouses are still great. You can still make money off
of
them. I know that people can sell them. And I knew that if, I know that if somebody did a shouse development in Grand Forks outside of the city limits where everyone had like an acre.
Yep.
And then a shouse on it and it was just all in a big row. I know that they'd sell like
crazy. You got a place for your snowmobiles, your lawn equipment, your boats, and all your toys.
And you can do all the things that you want to do.
Yes.
And you're with in a neighborhood of other people who probably will do the same things.
You know, that's a great idea.
Yeah. I mean, there's so much opportunity out there. And I think that now that that's what's going to start happening with interest rates rising and with things getting a little bit more competitive again, I think people are going to start moving that direction.
All right. I just want to let you know, a week from today, Katie's going to be on the show. We're going to be talking. We're going to be talking about the Bruce Spicer Memorial Golf Tournament. So, looking forward to that. In fact, I wouldn't doubt it if one of your guys will be here at about the same time they show up. But we're looking forward to that too. Are you golfing this year?
Yep, I plan to be there. So
good.
I won't be golfing. I'll just be volunteering, helping out. I'm not a very good golfer. I'm really good at drinking beer and driving the golf cart. I'm just not a good golfer. And
I'm,
you know,
not either.
Here's my thing, John. I don't want to be on a team with somebody who actually wants to have fun and do well.
Yeah.
Because I'm just gonna suck the whole time. And I did that one year. I won't name names about who it was, but I was on a team with three really good people and I was just the louse. I was just the loser on the team because I just am not a golfer. I just am not good at it. I like it. It's fun to might be out on the course.
It is.
But I just am not good. So yeah. And then they just kind of were like, okay, Ben, do you really want to take a shot? I'm like, no, I'll just take another shot.
Yeah.
I'll take a different type of shot.
There you know? Go. Yeah.
I won't take a shot at the golf ball, but I'll take a different shot.
So. And that tournament is a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
And we're looking forward to it.
Yeah. It's really fun. It's going to be supposed to be hopefully really nice out. Yeah. And the venue is always great. They have great food and drinks. Yeah. So that's my favorite part.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And supporting a great cause. Yeah.
If somebody wants to get a hold of Berkshire Ben Olson, how do they do that?
701-318-2676, or you can go to my website, propertyandclient.com.
All right. You have yourself a good remainder of the week.
Thanks, you too. We'll
already
see you next
Wednesday,
time.
So yes. We'll catch you back here in the studio Friday.
Yep.
See you All then. Right. Well, there you go. That is your Berkshire Hathaway biweekly podcast with your realty expert, Berkshire Ben Olson. And he'll be back again Friday morning right here from the studios at GFBS at about 10 a.m. Until then, have yourself a great day.